Greet you in Jesus' precious name. What a blessing to be gathered together here in worship. Many years ago, there was a son that brought his father before Pharaoh. It says that he set him before Pharaoh. And you probably remember what Pharaoh's first question was. And that is, how old art thou? And then we have in Genesis 47:9, and Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of my life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. In my own words, Jacob says that life has been short and it's been difficult. And it indeed was. When you think about Jacob's life, he had a lot of difficult things. He fled from Esau, and then he had a lot of problems with Laban there, and he had a lot of fear when he met his brother Esau again. He was, well, tricked on his wedding day, and there was just a lot of problems raising 12 sons, and I'm sure a lot of those problems aren't recorded. And then he lost his beloved wife in childbirth, and then for many years he was deceived about Joseph. And he says, it's been a short and difficult pilgrimage. Each of us is on a pilgrimage. We could call it our own personal journey. We, like Jacob, will sometime come to the end of the journey. But right now, we're in the journey, life's journey. And some may say, well, we don't say it like Jacob did, but we may say, well, life is tough, or life is a struggle, or life is a battle. And when we say those things, we all know what we're saying. And there's a few reasons why life is like this. And of course, one is the fall has, and we talk about the fall, and Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden, everything changed. Everything went away from perfection in one moment. And because of that, everyday life is more difficult for each of us every day. And of course, we know that Satan is that arch enemy of anything that's good. So anything that's going good, he's opposed to. So whether it's a good home life, good church life, good school, good marriage. Satan is always interested in somehow throwing a monkey wrench in the gears and having things go the wrong way instead of the right way. And there's circumstances on our personal journey that make life more difficult. And it can be, like was mentioned, the health issues, disease, loved ones' choices, church stress, church splits, and the list could go on. There's things that sort of put a knot in our stomach. I was just calculating up how many, is it between 6 and 7 million birds in Lancaster County that have been destroyed in the last few weeks, and some of you probably aren't aware of it. But some of us are fully aware of it. And we're relieved every time we step in our house and everything looks okay, because we know it could be different. Well, the title of the message is Journey with God. What is the answer to these difficulties in our life journey? And we want to look at the Bible and some verses and encourage us in our life's journey this morning. We need encouragement, because we can certainly get discouraged with the things that that come at us. And it almost seems like Jacob was somewhat discouraged when he was there in front of Pharaoh with he says is that my few and evil have been the days of the years of my life have been. Well, we want to find encouragement for our life journey this morning. You may open your Bibles to Psalms 40. First thought for life's journey is that God thinks of us. God thinks of us. Psalm chapter 40, verse 17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. And going back to verse 5. Many, O Lord thy God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Many are thy thoughts which are toward us. And Psalms 115, verse 12, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. You think about God, that the nations, the Bible says, are a drop in a bucket. The Bible says that the nations are just a speck on the balance, a speck on a scale. A speck doesn't even move the numbers. He says that's the nations. And yet we have here that a shepherd boy can say that I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. Yet the Lord thinketh on me. That's a wonderful thing. It's not a fairy tale. It's not fiction. It's the truth that God thinks of you and I. That needs to be something that we need to embrace for our journey of life. That God thinks of us. Friends, this morning, think about it, that we all appreciate cards. There's thinking of you cards. What if you'd have a card at home? It would say, thinking of you. And the bottom of it would be the signature of God, your creator God. And the message that's written on it is, I think about you a lot. And signed, Creator God. Now that would be really special. I think we'd probably all frame that, put it, I got a card from God. And he says he's thinking of me. Isn't that amazing? Well, it's true. It's true, brothers and sisters. That God thinks of us. And it's a precious truth that we need for life's journey. Moving on, secondly, is that God cares for us. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5, 7. Turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 7. Words of Jesus. Luke 12, verse 7. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Words of Jesus. Life is difficult. We mentioned Jacob described his life journey as difficult. Some of his problems he brought on himself, and some of our problems we bring on ourselves. Yet in the midst of Jacob's journey, he received confirmations that God cared for him. Think of the time he was sleeping out there under the stars and had a pillow for his rock, and God gave him a dream. we may struggle at times. Does God really care? And maybe you're struggling with that this morning. Does God care for you in a personal way? And my prayer for you this morning is, no matter where you are, that you would, that somehow this magnificent truth would come into your heart and mind and life, and that it would be confirmed to you in some way that God truly does care for you. And he can give those confirmations, and that we can go away and say, truly, God cares for us in some very special ways. And we need to believe these truths of what Jesus says. It's very special that he says, fear not, therefore. We can so easily have fear. And he lets us know that we're very valuable. Thirdly is, God knows the road ahead. We're thinking of truths that help us with our journey with God. Turn to Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 and 23. Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and through 23, I'd like to read. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. God knows the road ahead. And that phrase that I really like here is that he knoweth what is in the darkness. You know, we cannot see through the darkness, no matter how hard we try. And sometimes we try to find something in the dark, try to find the light switch. Now anymore, most people have a light on their phone. They can find what they drop in the dark. But, you know, we just cannot see in the dark. We don't know what is around the next bend on life's road. And it can make us anxious about the future. We wonder, will there be more bad news around the next turn in the road? We can imagine another police car driving in the lane and delivering bad news. And a number of years ago, I was out weed eating along the road in Farmersville. And I looked towards the farm and I saw smoke and Pen 4 turkey house. And we just got turkeys there that morning, and I knew right away, something's wrong. I see smoke coming out of the building. So, of course, ran like crazy and called the fire trucks. We got it out. And it was started from a stove. And there's a little bit of evidence there. But it was, if it would have happened at night, it would have been a different story. But just something how fear, you know, for a long time, when I come home and up Farmersville Road, you kind of look over the buildings and look for smoke because you're just afraid of smoke. And that's what fear does. Just sitting in the front bench about this and thinking about this, you know what? I have stoves at home. This whole thing could all happen again because we have stoves. And, you know, and we never really knew other than something must have dropped from a stove and started the shavings. But that's what can bring anxiety and fear. And sometimes that fear can be just a little prick, and sometimes it's a blow to us. And our confidence is that God knows the road ahead. And God is monitoring the road ahead. Yes, to us, the road ahead, around the next bend, it's darkness. We just don't know. But God knows. And I've been reading in the Old Testament, and in my Bible say, well, how many years this was prophesied ahead? Like Ahab's death, you know, they washed the blood out and the dogs licked it up. Well, that was prophesied. You know, it tells us God knows exactly what's going to happen in the future. And gives us confidence. He knows the road ahead. Fourthly, thinking of journeying with God and truths that will help us on this way is God makes a way for us. Proverbs 15:19. The way of the righteous is made plain. You know, which way can be a rather daunting question. You know, what shall we decide? Some people can get discouraged about the question. Other people will become indifferent in the big question of which way. You think of the children of Israel when they were up against the Red Sea. The enemy was fast approaching. You know, what a dilemma they were in. What stress. The Bible says, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And the Bible says that they were sore afraid. They may have looked, and it may have been miles away, but they saw the dust, they saw it. Here we go. They were very afraid. Of course, they were a little bit of anger mixed in with Moses that gave him a hard time. But that story gives us confidence that God can make a miraculous provision, a way that we never thought of. And God's way for them was made plain. They didn't need to argue, well, which way should we go? God made it plain. No one needed to ask, are you sure this is the way? God made a way for them. Sometimes we're in a battle and we don't know which is the way of escape. But there's other times that we may know the way of escape, but we're resistant to take it. But there's times where we truly aren't sure. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. You know, we can have confidence that we continue to ask God which way, that he will tell us. And Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And when you turn to the right, and when you turn to the left. It's a lovely verse. God will give us his child direction, a way forward. As fellow travelers, we need to believe that God has everything at his disposal to make a way for us. Every time. Not just some of the time. There is a way for us. And God can, there's nothing impossible with God. All things are possible with God. God can stop that Jordan River that's flowing over its banks and make a room for, 2 million people to pass through. And he can have a friend that's in some far corner of the earth or desert and needs a little bit of food, and he can command a raven to go bring him some food so he has something to eat. So God can just do anything. And we need to give him that glory and honor by having a faith in God that he will make a way for us. Fifthly, journey with God. God is near us. We have many verses that tell us that. The Lord is blank unto all them that call upon him? What did I miss? The Lord is what unto all them? Nigh. The Lord is nigh. Psalms 145. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon his name, call upon him in truth. It's a verse you should have underlined if you haven't. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. What a promise. We have in Isaiah 43, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. In Jeremiah 23 and 24, I'd like to read. Isaiah 23, verses 20. Or Jeremiah, I'm sorry. Jeremiah 23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? It's again, God's everywhere present. There's times in life that we can feel lonely. We can feel burdened down with the heartaches and the suffering. We may feel at times that we need more things to bring us comfort, more things to maybe entertain us, more things to try to bring satisfaction. And there's sometimes things that aren't necessarily a bad idea, like a girlfriend or a boyfriend. If only I could get married. But it's not the total answer. The full answer of is the presence of God, a sense of God's presence. You know, we can think of many things that we think that, well, this would make life better. This will make our journey a little better. We need a little more money, and we need some things that are better, some things that are newer, some things that are more shiny. And we need a little more convenience. We need a little more softness. We need more business. And brothers and sisters, it will all disappoint unless it's more of God. It will all disappoint unless it's more of God. So our main need is God and his presence in this journey of life, journey with God. So we are so influenced with the world that they think all this will make your journey better. Well, if you don't have God, it won't be better. That is for sure. Sixthly, that is that God keeps us 24/7. Psalms 121, verses 4 and 5. 121. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, he said, Father, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. A prayer of keeping. Something we need to thank God for is his keeping power, that God can keep us. It's amazing. He can keep us. You know, they think about the dangers of life. The journey has a lot of dangerous places. Just as those that climb Mount Everest, you know, it takes some forethought. A careless move can be fatal. I think I read a book on Mount Everest climbers, and there's been some times where, well, there's times that there's been miscalculations, and of course a climber can then fall into a crevice, and they can't help them. But there's been some losses of some very skilled climbers because of storms, and they had the experience, but they're outwitted by a storm and they die. In Jesus' prayer, what he's praying for is our spiritual keeping. Our spiritual keeping. And he goes on and says there that he's kept everybody except the son of perdition. And that was Judas. But we need to understand that that wasn't a failure on Jesus' part. It's not that Jesus failed to keep Judas, but it's rather that Judas chose not to be kept. So that's really important that we understand that. The keeping power is there for each and every one of us, that we can stay on this journey until the very, very end. And that's the power of God. Seventhly, and lastly, God is preparing a resting place. Matthew chapter 25. God is preparing a resting place. 25 verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This is my last point, so this is going to be, looks like maybe a little shorter message, so you can prepare for, you can give your testimony, I suppose. But God is preparing a place for us. In John 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Your life's journey comes to an end. Sometime, we will be on the last mile of the road. It will just be the last mile. And sometimes, we don't know it. My mother and our son, indeed, we're traveling on the last mile of the road, and they did not know it. And some have no warning that their earthly journey is just about over. And you think about it, it's okay. It's okay that we don't have to know when we're on the last mile of the journey, if we are prepared to leave. But think about it. There's many, many people that had an unexpected exit off their journey of life that they weren't expecting. The vast majority that are traveling through life are only focusing on the journey. They're thinking of like I mentioned before, more money, more things, more pleasure, more entertainment, more amusement. And my final appeal to each of you fellow travelers is to arrive safely at the final resting place. And the final resting place, read John 14, the final resting place is our Father's house. That's the final resting place. For the Christian, that's the end. And Jesus describes his Father's house as a place of many mansions. And that should be the goal of everyone in this building. Your life goal is to arrive safely at the Father's house. Nothing is more important than that. Let's kneel for prayer.